Biljana Platno ne беше, Biljana ženi ljubeše. Okay, I'm Biljana Ginova, lesbian feminist activist from Skopje, from Lesfem, small lesbian activist, lesbian feminist activistic group.
Can you tell us a little bit about the general context, political and social context of Macedonia in a few sentences?
The context, the political context, the social context is changing very quickly in Macedonia in the last year, or in the last 2 years. After we established, I will talk about the context regarding the lesbian and LGBT issues in general. It's easier to start from there, because if I go to the broader political picture, it will be more difficult to explain, more complex to explain. So after, maybe it's smarter to start even a little bit earlier, when they were bringing the law for abortion. Okay. That's where it started changing, more dynamically, the context. So as you know, we have this very bad law for abortion, and it's restricting the women. For women, it's very difficult now to get abortion. But what is wrong with that? First, the law is wrong. It's very bad law. But second, the way where how they voted the law, it was in quick, urgent procedure, and they voted almost overnight. Mm-hmm. So we, as a feminist and activist, when we find out about the changing of the law, we had to organize ourselves overnight, you know, for protests and for speeches in the parliament, for the public debate for the law. And what is important to mention here is that civil society activists, civil activists, were never more organized than then. Every woman who was speaking in that parliament was talking from different perspective, from feminist perspective, from social perspective, from health perspective. Even one woman who is very old, not very old, but many years, she's active in women movements in Macedonia, and she was one of this organization. They were fighting for quotes in the parliament. She was even saying in the parliament, I was fighting for you to be in this parliament, and if you vote this law, I will fight for you not to be in this parliament. My point is that we were very organized, and we had shown then their arguments and facts why this is a bad law, but they voted anyway. And then when it started changing the context.
When was it?
It was like 2.5 years ago, like something like that. Some data I don't remember, but I can, the correct dates I can send you by mail later on. Before that, the context was a little bit different, because as a government, they were trying to show that they're open government, that there is a process of consultation with the civil society. But at this point, they shown their absolute power, that they don't take into consideration the healthy, the good arguments. And everything starts from then. The Constitutional Court later on did not find it that this law is unconstitutional. So this also influenced on the role of a woman. Now I'm talking first on the women and lesbian, of course, in that sense, matters. Later, last year, our government cut the only gender studies that we had in the faculty, in the state faculty. Now we don't have gender studies. That's second biggest change in the context. And instead of them, they introduce family studies. So it changes completely the situation in the country. So this is one thing. This is a second thing. I'm still talking from this women and feminist point of view, and I will later I will have to mention the LGBT context also later. So parallel with this process started this project Skopje 2014. The government is changing the faces of the main buildings in the city square, but they are also building monuments. In that monuments, they put hundreds and hundreds of monuments. Only three are women. Only three are women. One of them is in some school, you know, in the yard, schoolyard somewhere, of one fighter in the Second World War. The other one is very famous. She was fighting in this Ottoman Emperor, and she's very famous about that, Sirma Vojvoda, but she's put it in a museum behind the bushes. You cannot even see that monument. And the third, which is very important, is the mother of Alexander the Great. In the city of Skopje, there is a huge, in the center of Skopje, there is a huge monument of Alexander on a horse, on a, and a, with a sword, you know, in a big masculine phallus in the look. On the other side of the bridge, on the center of Turska, of Old Bazaar, it's a huge monument of his father, Philip. He's also standing tall on this big pedestal. In between them, there is Olympia, one of the wives of Philip and the mother of Alexander. And in all, and she's put it in four position on the fountain also. All three are fountains. And in the first two, the water goes below below the men. But in this third one, the women, the woman, the below goes actually under, above her. And she, in all four positions, in first she's pregnant, in the second she's breastfeeding the baby Alexander, then he's a little bit older and older. And in all four positions, she's with her head like this and taking care of the baby and nursing the baby. And in all four positions, the water goes under her. So that puts the woman in society and changes. Parallel with this, they changed the educational program. They changed the educational curriculum parallel with this. And to change program, it's not easy. It's a huge procedure. So they cannot say it's a mistake, somebody made a mistake. No, many levels of checking. So now in the educational curriculum for primary school, besides this gender balance that it was present in the past, now there are lecturers who openly promote and present and approve violence, gender-based violence. We had many reactions on that. It still hasn't changed. So this is the context regarding the women, where this society puts the women in this society. The second main thing is about the LGBTI. After the opening of LGBTI support center, the attack started. The first attack was the same night when we opened it. We opened it 2.5 years ago. Since then, we had 6 attacks on the center. None of them was solved. With every other attack that was not solved, the police didn't find the attackers, didn't prosecute them in front of the court, the situation changes because the attackers become local heroes if they are not judged. So this is the context where we, as a women, and as a part, as a women, as lesbian, and as a lesbians as part of LGBT community, we are at the moment. At the moment, we cannot be more marginalized, more excluded from the, not just excluded and marginalized, but stigmatized, that we are something bad that need to be destroyed, need to be damaged. At one of the attacks, and they are not innocent attacks, they are not like children saw rainbow and they attacked it. At one of the attacks, at the door, they wrote with this spray, how do you say, they wrote Tremiti. First we said, come on, they're idiots, they don't know. We thought they wanted to say Termiti or something, you know. But no, Tremiti is the name of the concentration camp where Mussolini was putting homosexuals. So this is not innocent attack. This is not innocent at all attack. And every attack becomes more and more brutal than previous one. And the last attack, they literally broke a bottle of glass from the head of one girl who was actually here to support her sister.
I have a question about who is exactly attacking. So how to say, Macedonian fascists, what kind of fascists they are? And, you know, it's conservative. If you can just explain who are the main enemies.
We don't know for sure who are the main enemies. But for almost every attack, we have caught them on camera, and police, of course, don't use that camera. On one of the attacks, we actually, you can see, I have videos, I can send you the links. On one of the attacks, you can see that there were supposed to be 6 or 7 police officers in front of the LGBTI center. It was the opening of Pride Week, of the first Pride Week in Skopje. And instead of being in front of the LGBTI center, they were drinking beer in the next cafe. Only one policeman was inside and one outside. And you can see on the camera that several couples two or three couples from one part of the street, they come to the police officer and they tell him something, showing in the upper, part of the street. So after two or three minutes, you see group of 30 men, 30 angry men, how they attack the with stones, with these metal things that you light on the football.
Yes.
Buckley, I don't know how do you say it in English. With those kind of things, with metal things, they throw everything because it's a glass door, glass window. I will show you the videos. I think you need to see the videos to know what I'm talking about. And police officer, after these three couples told him, he moved away on the side. So for me, that says it's organized. Whoever they are, it doesn't matter who they are. That means that police knows about that and they don't break them as a group. One other thing that is important to be mentioned here, for two or three of the attacks, we have identified the threats on Facebook, on social media, on these football fans forums, that they will attack the center. And we send those threats to the police with names and pictures, you know, of people on the Facebook who threatened. They didn't do anything with that. So, again, some of the attacks were done by the... We suspect, so we don't have proof, that some of the attacks were made from the football fans from Macedonian part of the city and some of them from the football fans from Albanian football teams. Some people say that they are united in the hate, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. I think they both groups, they are not united, but they just both attacked us. But again, they are supported by the police. That's the main thing. It doesn't matter who they are. What it matters is that the police knew and did not do anything about it. And even now, after that, usually there is a huge amount of hate speech against us from famous people, from famous journalists. And we now we just received information from the public prosecutor office where we sent krivična prijava. We sent complaint. Yeah.
Complain.
When we sent that with proofs of hate speech, and the court did not find it. But it's proven that the hate speech literally brings hate crimes.
Of course, yeah.
Directly. We have, you know, I personally survived two attacks. Physical, and one of them was they put picture of me and three other activists, and they said the faggot leg will not come to Bitola again because they thought I'm from Skopje, and I'm actually from Bitola. And that picture was going around all the media all week long. So you can only imagine how my mother felt when she was seeing that picture.
Yes.
Because it's different. She's afraid, of course, for my life. She's not an idiot like me not to be afraid.
I also wanted to know, because before you were saying that you were really active in lots of movements and not in the feminist movement, and that now you feel the need to go back to feminism, and do you think that that's the way? Can you explain me in which struggles are you engaged to, and that way we'll also understand the political context, maybe.
I started my civil street activism in 2011. When this political party that is in power, they were celebrating the win on the elections. And that night, one police officer killed a young man, with bare hands on the street in front of tens of witnesses. And they tried to hide it. And then the Twitter community actually outed that case. I was angry. I was outrageous. From the day one, I went on the street and I was asking for resignation from the Minister of Interior. I was asking for resignation from many people who are responsible, and I was asking for people who are responsible in the whole vertical, because there were 2 days. First, they were lying that there is a case of that man. Second, the medical report said that the boy felt sick and he just collapsed. It's not true. He didn't have the half of his head. Was broken, literally. And that is when I started with street activism, with police brutality. So we had many demands. One of the demands was also independent commission who will monitor the work of the police. Nothing we gained. The only thing that we gained from that was the police officer, the one police officer who actually did the crime, went to prison for 14 years. And that's the only thing that we managed to gain from that. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was very enlightening and empowering, that experience, being on the streets. We protested every day for almost 3 months, every day at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Many people gathered and we fought. We had meetings every night at 9 o'clock, you know, after the protest. We gathered, we had meetings, we planned, and yeah, we continued. Yes, that empowered me a lot. But at one moment, we reached the summer, and people start going to... Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you as sisters, not... Yes. People start... The movement from that side a little bit weakened. But what is more important? Why the movement weakened? That we excluded many groups. Because the government, in the past years, they tried to delegitimize civil movements by putting labels. The first label that they put to the movements is that they work for the opposition party. Mm. The second label is that they are paid by Soros, by George Soros. Mm. And if you are paid by George Soros, that means that you work for Greek agenda.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
And then they put labels that we are faggots and that we are atheists. And again, you know, it doesn't matter what is the truth. Mm. What is matter is what people think is truth. And the government has the money for propaganda. Mm-hmm. They own the national medias and they use this propaganda for many movements before our movement against police brutality. So we were afraid that we will receive the same labels, and we've made the huge mistakes. We said, okay, you can come, but not as a member of political party. You can come, but not as a representative of Soros Foundation or any organization who receives money from Soros. You will not come because you're a member of NGO. You will not come because you're... I don't know, you come with black flag or because you are anarchist or because you hide your face or because this and that and that. We were afraid of that labels and we were struggling, and they succeeded. You know, they succeeded in their objective. Their objective was to delegitimize us, to oslabnat, to weaken, weaken our movement, and they succeeded. After that, there was another movement for the bad decisions that from one commission, and the electricity went up, the price of electricity went up very, very high. And again, they made the same. I wasn't active in that cause very much, but I was supporting it. And now, after many years, I've realized how many mistakes we've done. And 2 years ago, I joined this lesbian feminist movement, and I learned so much since then, because I'm meeting all these smart women in Macedonia, but also in the region and in the world. That and I started to understand the values of feminism. And now, from this perspective, I really honestly believe that feminism is the main tool, the main thing that we can use to change the political situation. And even though, besides this lesbian feminism, now I'm also active in one very new civil initiative. We call it AIDE, ili Hajde. That's a word in all Balkan languages, even Albanian and Turkish and Macedonian, and it calls for action. It says, translated in English, it goes... Let's go. Let's go. Like, either. And we tried with that initiative to support all the movements, all the small initiatives in the country. If they ask for support, we will give support in resources, in knowledge, in people, in everything, because we are growing as a platform. So even then, even there, even though it's not a feminist organization, it's a much broader, I'm trying to bring the values of feminism to the discussions there and to impose them there, because I honestly believe that that is the only way we can succeed in this huge struggle that we lead.
And either you are mixed...
You inspire me, girl. No,
honestly. In either you are mixed... how to say, group. So how you manage the balance of power with men?
This is very important question that you're asking, because you made me think to how many women are active in this platform. Mm-hmm. and how many are in the coordinative body of that platform, you know, the leadership. And actually, we are only 2 out of 7 in the coordination body. But regarding me, I don't know. My opinion is taken in consideration as a woman. And they are not, and I noticed that they are, I mean, for me it's important that I'm not considered as one of the boys, not from them, and I don't consider myself as one of the boys in that, on that table. And also I always bring the issues of sexual minorities, because they know I'm lesbian and they know that I'm LGBT activist besides this. So it's always present and in our agenda as platform. But we need to change that. In general, there are less women in the whole movement because it's open for everybody to join.
Can you tell us also about the how you gain against the changing of constitution? That it
Yes.
Because you have
that's our victory. Yes, and that I forgot to mention in the when I was explaining the context. And one moment, the government decided to change the constitution of the country because the opposition, it was out of the parliament, and they had the possibility to, because it's difficult to open the constitutional question in the country in general. You have to have 2/3 of the votes. I don't know the whole procedure, but they managed because the opposition is out of. Their main purpose was to win some other things, to put some other things in the constitution, like free economical zones and stuff like that, which are very problematic. But what is most problematic for us, that they put, that they want to change the constitution in the part of marriage and to put that the marriage is exclusively a union of one man and one woman. And not just that, but also to put another part of the same article, that the civil union is exclusively union of one man and one woman. And that was very problematic. And that was very alarming. We don't have a registered civil union. But according to the law, after living together 1 year, then you receive some benefits from the state. Not all of them, it's not equal to marriage, but you received some benefits after living together. And with this part, put it in the constitution, then you will lose everything. You lose everything. And those relations, it doesn't have to be partner or romantic relations. Mm-hmm. If we live together as a flatmates, after 1 year we receive some... because it doesn't matter, we live together one year at least. So then you have some, I mean, if we are flatmates, we don't need that. But if we are partners, then we need that. Yeah. You don't receive health insurance, you don't receive, you know, like social insurance. It's not like that, but very some small things you receive from living together 1 year. It cuts that, but it also cuts the possibility of ever having civil union. That's for us, that was the bigger problem. That if they put that in the constitution and they promote it like that, if in the future comes more progressive government than ours, do not have possibility to change this. That's why we put this. That was their explanation of the. And we have done very good strategy. I'm very happy about that strategy. First thing we done is gathering all the LGBTI activists, but not just LGBTI, also other organizations who support LGBT issues, even though they don't work specifically on LGBT. So first we had some seminars, some meetings, working together to create strategy. We made a headquarters. You know, like the political parties had headquarters when they run campaigns. We've done headquarters in our LGBTI support center. We made a timetable, and every day we meet it there. Every day, at least 5-6 people were coming there. That was one thing, like technical thing. Second thing is made analysis. In no time, I mean, legal experts from different organizations gathered and they made comparative analysis and analysis of internal documents. So we had, in like few days, we had concrete arguments and facts why this is a bad amendment. That was one thing internally. What we knew that we need the media. And as LGBT movement, we don't have access to the mainstream media at all. It's controlled and owned by the government, and we don't have access. And then we remembered that we have the local TV stations. Local TV stations, they many times they don't have program. You know, they need somebody to come and to speak about something. That was very clever, that we think. So we've made a plan of 10 local TV stations. Macedonia is a small country. With 10 TV stations, local, you cover the whole country. And people are watching local TV stations because they want to hear about the local issues. And we arranged 10 meetings. So unfortunately, after the third one, they realized our strategy. And in the fourth TV station, local TV station, they told us literally, if you come to talk the same way as the government talks, you are welcomed. If not, no. We received almost the similar answer, almost the same answer in every other. But we acceded to go at least in three local TV stations, yes. Then that was one, this was one thing on a side what we could do. The second thing, which was very empowering for us, it was lobbying. But we couldn't say gay and lobbying in one word, you know, it was difficult.
Lobby gay.
Because gay lobby, you know what can, yes. What kind of thing. So we didn't call it officially, we didn't call it lobbying. We call it like advocacy or individual meetings with members of parliament, because we've realized that they have 83 members of parliament. And to pass this law, they need 83. And they have exactly 83. So that means we need to lobby at least one. If we lobby one member of parliament, then we will win. We need only one member of parliament. So that means we don't have to spend energy to talk with all the members of parliament. We need to target five or six which are most suspicious that they can vote no on this constitutional change. So we organized these individual meetings with members of parliament, and we were going in the teams of three. For preparation of this meeting, one peer expert, she joined us and she says, everybody beats you, I want to help you. And she delivered this workshop pro bono. It was not workshop, but facilitated meeting. We were, you know, as LGBT activists, gather 20 people in one room, everybody is yelling, we should do this, we should point out this and that, and this is important, and that is important. She was just writing down, and 2 hours later she said, okay, these are your key messages. So that was very helpful for our advocacy, lobby teams or advocacy teams, which were consisted of three members. One member was the legal person, some lawyer or some person who knows how to explain the legal perspective of the issue. Second was LGBTI activist who would give the picture, the frame and the demand, what we demand from them. And the third one, and the most important in this process, was the member of the community. It was first time in history of advocacy in Macedonia for LGBT rights, somebody to sit down in front of the member of parliament and to say, I'm a lesbian or I'm a gay man. And this influence, and we created, first the legal person explains the legal situation, and then you have the member of the community who will say, you know, like spontaneously will join the talk, like, yes, for example, me as a gay man, you know, it influenced like this and like that. One guy said, because we have one member of parliament from the Green Party. Yeah, you can go. Yeah. We have one member of the parliament from the Green Party, but she's not green at all. I mean, at all. She's done, once she take a picture with the rainbow flag in front of the parliament, and that's everything that she ever done. And this smart gay guy says, you know, once as a gay man, once I saw you with the flag in front of the parliament, and that day I thought that this is the woman that she fights for my rights and that she will stand for my rights anytime you see that. And then I believe this, and this woman start crying at that situation. This woman start crying. And at the end, the LGBT activist would rap the conversation up and would ask the concrete demand. It was very successful for us. And the third component was international community. Everybody from the LGBTI activists who knew anybody in the international community. It doesn't matter if it's a member of European Parliament or ILGA Europe or intergroup for LGBT in European Parliament or some political party or European Commission, shadow reporters, everybody we knew, we contacted and we sent information. We contacted media, international media, everybody, and everybody gave great support on this matter. And the Venice Commission as well, which is the most important part. When Venice Commission report came, they criticized these constitutional changes, and the government announced that they will delete this part of the constitution for civil unions.
Yeah.
And we promote it as a victory, because I believe it's a victory. I believe it's a victory of the community, because we've done all this job, you know, to reach that point. Maybe if we didn't do everything like we done, even the Venice Commission report would come, and maybe they wouldn't communicate it in public, and maybe they would ignore it. But the whole international community attention was on this, on this matter. And also it empowered the people from the community, because after the meetings with the parliaments, first they kept the meetings with the same parliamentarians that they had meetings, and they contact them for issues in the future after this campaign. But also, you know, they had the feeling that they contributed for this to be changed. And that's empowering, you know? And that's why we celebrate it as
like
a victory.
You are a member of community.
Many times in the past, we always complain and complain and complain. Yeah. Even in the times when we reach some victories, you don't focus on the victory that you've reached, but you focus on the big picture that you didn't want. And I believe that we always, not always, but in a long time, we will still have this big picture not achieved yet, but we will always have these small victories that we need to celebrate. We have to celebrate. First, because they will empower us, but also they will mobilize people. They will mobilize supporters. Everybody wants to join the winning team. Nobody wants the loser.
Yes, yes,
so if we start to win, people will join us.
We are so many stronger.
I came from the beginning on Thursday, and I will stay by the until the end of the caravan. I received information from Marie-Joseph from France. Yes, because I was in Marseille on Euro Lesbo Forum, and that's how I have the contacts. So I received the information from her. I said, Marie-Joseph, you have to connect me with the organizers. I want to be there. You know, how, what should I do? How can I go there? And she connected me with the organizers, and they said, how many women you can come? I said, at least four. They were happy. Luckily, they did some small local fundraising, and they covered our travel expenses here. And being here, because I'm a very young activist, not as a person, I'm old, but I'm only 2 years.
How old are you?
I'm 34, come on. but as a lesbian activist, as a feminist activist, I'm very young. You know, I'm still a baby. I'm only 2 years in this struggle. So I'm learning every day. I'm still a beginner, as I said. For me, being here is so empowering. Meeting all these strong women, women who change, literally change the world. It's great experience. And what is most important, that everybody here is awakened and supportive. And with every talk, with every small talk, not just the great workshops and the great panels and the movies and the debates we have, but in the small talks, women empower me. Honestly, when I, and for me, it's, this is like third event of this kind that I've participated in last 2 weeks. And every time when I go home, you know, I feel that I can do everything. I can change everything. And after a while, you know, people pressure you and put labels on you and put you down. And but you struggle. And every time, after every meeting like this, I come back stronger and stronger. And this time, I'm very happy that I brought with me three other women. And all of them are very new activists in Lesvem. And one of them, actually, last night told me, Biljana, she says, you cannot even imagine what it means for me to be here. How much I grown up, literally, she said these words, how much I grown up in these 2 days. So that is your cause. That is the result of what are you doing here. So this is your result. And that empowerment is very important. In these 2 years, as Lesvem, as a group, we try to address all these important issues, like revision of history, of women in the history, because they're invisible, like education, those things that I told you about the gender-based violence in our education material, like visibility and political presence in the public space. And we forgot, because Lesfem was organized by 4 or 5 women who are already activists in different fields. But we forgot about the other women who joined Lesfem, because they are not activists, they are not feminists, they didn't study gender studies. They're just women who love women, and they just want to create safer and better environment for them and for their partners. And we forgot about their empowerment. And next week, actually, people from Belgrade, Tijana i još jedna cura, I switched to Serbian, I saw it. Tijana and another girl, they will come next weekend for a 2-day workshop with our girls for lesbian empowerment, you know, for coming out stories, personal stories, relationship stories. And I think it's important to have that kind of workshop to empower our women and ourselves.
Super.
So that's the result. Yeah.
The caravan is useful, you see. Yeah. All the camping kits was useful. Yeah.
All the dirty clothes. Yeah. unsleep, all the snoring. I snore.
Will you continue with us to do the anagram?
To join the caravan?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, all thank you.
The tent.
Thank you for the invitation. To be honest, it's very difficult with the whole political context in my country to join the caravan, because I feel the need that this is a crucial political moment to be in the country, and I need to be there, physically to be there, because this fascist dictator has to fall soon, because if they don't fall soon, they will come back as a wounded animal and they will kill us all or put us in jail, you know, and it will be much worse for my country. But maybe if I save money, I can join you in the ending event in Portugal.
Yes.
So I can start saving money from now.